Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. Fancy Brian right there on the board where he should be. How you doing, big guy?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right.
You know, I'd like to think we've got at least a fair to middling show, maybe a little bit better than that.
That's where we start off every day.
You know, I got some fine guests joining us, and you, of course, can always join this fine program. Phone lines always open for your take at 844-967-2789. Coming up in the next hour, right from the top, I got a fine co-devil, Dr. Harvey Kay. He is a crowd favorite, professor emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Lots to talk about with Harvey. But coming up this hour, we got a fine attorney joining us from Law Forward. And right here in the state of Wisconsin, Law Forward filed against the false Trump electors. Wanted to see if, you know, they could get some sort of action from the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Now, ironically, one of the Wisconsin Elections Commissioners also happens to be a false Trump elector here in the state of Wisconsin. So, you know, it gets all kind of, let's just say, incestuous. So anyways, there is some new reporting out today from the New York Times. This whole concept, the false elector concept, well, it was hatched right here in the state of Wisconsin. And how do we know? The New York Times got some brand new receipts, and they dropped them today. I'm going to share some of that reporting, and then we're going to digest with Mel Barnes, attorney with Law Forward, at 3:30. So let's start there. Let's start with the New York Times. There are some other stories we're going to touch on today, but I'll get to them later. The reporting Alan Fuhrer, Maggie Haberman, and Luke Broadwater at the New York Times. The subheadline, just over 2 weeks after Election Day, lawyers working with the Trump campaign set out a rationale for creating alternative slates of electors as part of an effort to buy time to overturn the results. Now, I would point out these false electors, you know, they act like this is, you know, just a small action. Almost like it wasn't a preconceived conspiracy. But this reporting is going to undermine many of their defenses. 15 days after Election Day in 2020, James Troupas, a lawyer for the Trump campaign right here in my state of Wisconsin, received a memo setting out what became the rationale for an audacious strategy to put in place alternative slate of electors in states where president, you know, the former president Donald J. Trump was trying to overturn his loss. The memo from another lawyer named Kenneth, I think it's Chesbro, but I'm going to call him Cheesebro.
Bruh.
May not have been the first time the lawyers and allies of Mr. Trump had weighed the possibility of naming their own electors in hopes that they, you know, might eventually succeed in flipping the outcome in battleground states through recounts and lawsuits baselessly asserting widespread fraud. But the November 18th memo and another 3 weeks later are among the earliest known efforts to put on paper proposals for preparing alternative electors. Let me jump down a little bit in this reporting. And there is a sub-memo. Here is a quote from this memo. It may seem odd that electors pledged to Trump and Pence might meet and cast their votes on December 14th. Even at that juncture, the Trump-Pence ticket is behind in the vote count. Now, December 14th, just happens to be the date here in the state of Wisconsin that the electors cast their elector votes for Joe Biden, the rightful winner of the state of Wisconsin. A little bit more. It is at that juncture the Trump-Pence ticket is behind in the vote count, and no certificate of election has been issued in favor of Trump and Pence, the November 18th memo said. However, a fair reading of federal statute suggests that this is a reasonable course of action. No, that's not really true. Both federal prosecutors and the House committee investigating the events of January 6th have recently confirmed that they are examining the effort to submit alternative slate of electors to the Electoral College. On Friday, that was just a few days ago, congressional investigators issued subpoenas to 14 people who claimed to be the official Trump electors in the states that were, actually won by Mr. Biden. The two memos obtained by the New York Times were used by Mr. Trump's top lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, and others like John Eastman, as they developed a strategy intended to exploit ambiguities in the Electoral College Electoral Count Act, according to a person familiar with the matter. And the memos were initially meant to address Mr. Trump's challenge to the outcome here in Wisconsin, where I live. But they ultimately became part of a broader conversation by members of Mr. Trump's legal team as the president looked towards January 6th and began to exert pressure on Mr. Pence to hold up certification of the Electoral College count. It's a lot of words that mean the scheme was hatched right here in the state of Wisconsin. Neither Mr. Troupas nor Mr. Cheeseborough responded to requests for comments about the memos. And even before they were written, legislative leaders, and listen very carefully here, Wisconsinites, even before they were written, legislative leaders in Arizona and Wisconsin sought advice from their own lawyers about whether they had the power to alter slates of electors after the election took place, and were effectively told they did not. They did not. So they had already explored this avenue right here in the state of Wisconsin. And Robin Voss, who was the assembly speaker, was given legal counsel from the Legislative Reference Bureau, I believe. But the nonpartisan lawyers say, no, you cannot do that. Yet here came this proposition from Cheeseborough to Jim Troupas here in the state of Wisconsin. And this plan was hatched to put out these false electors all across the nation. Now, Mr. Trump has long embraced this scheme. Just this past weekend, he issued a statement reiterating that he was justified in using the process in Congress on January 6th to challenge the outcome, in asserting that Mr. Pence could have overturned the election. The plan to employ alternative electors was one of Mr. Trump's most expansive efforts to stave off defeat, beginning even before some states had finished counting ballots, and culminating in the pressure placed on Mr. Pence when he presided over the joint congressional session on January 6th. At various times, the scheme involved state lawmakers, White House aides, and lawyers like Mr. Cheeseborough and Mr. Troupas. In the weeks before the election, now Troupas was a Scott Walker buddy, the former Republican governor of the state of Wisconsin, tried to brandish his resume. Walker did. Put him on the district court in Dane County, a very liberal county, all things considered. Put this conservative judge who helped to defend voter ID, helped to create or at least defend the redistricting in the state of Wisconsin, the highly partisan gerrymandered. And then they tried to, make him pretty for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But a year after a judicial appointment, Troupas, moved on. Anyways, then he went on to represent the Trump campaign here in the state of Wisconsin, and that's where we pick up the story. Mr. Troupas oversaw the Trump campaign's recount effort in Wisconsin, which ultimately showed that Mr. Biden had won by more than 20,000 votes. In early December of 2020, Troupas filed a lawsuit on behalf of the Trump campaign that sought to invalidate the use of absentee ballots in Milwaukee and Dane County, which both have large numbers of black voters. And we here in the state of Wisconsin are familiar with how some of the justices reacted. Rebecca Dallet noted that Mr. Troupas had not sought to invalidate votes in Wisconsin's 70 other counties, but had focused only on the most non-white urban parts of the state. Another justice, Jill Karofsky, echoed that sentiment, telling Mr. Troupas that his lawsuit smacked of racism. And in late December, Mr. Cheeseborough joined Mr. Troupas in asking the U.S. Supreme Court to review the question of whether competing slates of electors in Wisconsin and six other contested states could be considered on January 6th. The High Court denied that request. And one other interesting note, the November memo, for example, called January 6th the hard deadline for setting the results of the election and advised that the Trump campaign had nearly 2 months for judicial proceedings to challenge the outcome. It also suggested that Trump-friendly electors in Wisconsin needed to meet in Madison, the state capital, on December 14, 2020, the day the Electoral College would be voting. Now, something, you know, that should be taken note of, here's one more paragraph, and then I'll give you the notes. The second memo referenced by the New York Times, was dated December 9, 2020, and expanded on the plan. It set forth an analysis of how to legally authorize alternative electors in six key swing states, including Wisconsin. It noted the scheme was unproblematic in Arizona and Wisconsin, slightly problematic in Michigan, somewhat dicey in Georgia and Pennsylvania, and very problematic in Nevada. And the one other, you know, interesting note, this memo came in the state of Wisconsin after the Wisconsin Supreme Court had ruled against Trump. So any claims that, oh, we're just setting up an alternative slate of electors, keeping our legal options open, should know that those legal options had been exhausted here in the state of Wisconsin before this coup attempt was put forth in a memo. All starts with the memo. Did you get the memo? The coup memo?
Didn't Scotty Fitzgerald facilitate that meeting on the 14th so that they could have the room available for them?
Ironically, he did. And you know, we have a fine constitutional lawyer that represents you and I and our friend Dominic. In the matter of entering a locked building, the Wisconsin State Capitol, which I was charged with and you were charged with, the same week that false Trump electors entered the very same locked building to cast fraudulent ballots. So, you know, we're in the discovery phase. I called Jeff Scott Olson. I said, you know, let's look about December 14th at noon, because I'm pretty sure those guys didn't get charged for entering a locked building, but perhaps fraud, insurrection, sedition, maybe those are future charges.
It's never been done before. So I need planning, a large crew.
We have not planned for that.
Get her!
That was your whole plan. Get her.
You are one pathetic loser.